I went right after that meow into Ralph. Hi, Ralph. Hi, that guy. Hi, Majok.
Old McToddles had a farm. E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-
Hey, that guy's here. That guy's here already. Hey, BP. Good to see you. Everybody, McDonald's. I'm McDonald's. I mean, McDonald's.
I wonder if Aaron's
I'm Moonshine, Moonchild. That guy, Tron Cat. Good to see everybody. Eric, Dina Joe. Good to have you with me, as always. BP49, Ralphie. Good to see you. Aaron, good to see you, man.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan. Trying to catch up here.
Welcome, everybody, to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina Joe and Eric coming to you live from across the United States of America. All the way from Georgia, diagonally across the continental United States up to Washington State, and then backtracking a little bit down into the valleys right before the Colorado Rockies, into Colorado with Dina Joe. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful day. It is Monday the 25th, the last week of April. Can you believe that? Yeah. The last week of April already. Unbelievable.
I can't believe Mother's Day's this weekend.
I don't know.
Not this weekend, I don't believe.
Oh, it's 2 weekends away? Okay,
I believe
good.
So.
Oh, good. Oof.
Mother's Day is on the 8th, May 8th.
Yes, I know. Yeah, May 8th. Yeah, the day after my son's birthday.
There you go.
My other son.
Oh,
I got two of them. I got two of those guys. I got two of those bad boys. Hi, J-Baby. Hi, John.
Hey, John.
Good to see you, J-Baby.
J-Baby.
Hey, Don. Hey, J-Baby. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see everybody. Hope you're all having a good start to your day. I am. Yeah. Things are starting off great. I slept fantastic last night. Oh my gosh. I slept so good. I woke myself up. I woke myself up going, what is going on? How come I'm sleeping so good? Well, I'm going to go back to sleep. Went back to sleep. Fell back to sleep hard, sleeping good, and woke up again going, what's going on here? What's wrong? How come I'm sleeping so good? You know how it is when things, it shocks you. It shocks you when all of a sudden things are going the way they should be going. Yeah. Listening to a little bit of jazz this morning on the WESN network before I got going. Some great jazz, man. That's some good jazz you got going on there, Ralph.
Hi, Mr. A.
Pretty good way to start the day. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Is everybody okay?
MDR Z-Bag.
Wow.
Yeah,
I can't get used to Old McTuttle's name. I mean, it's I keep saying it.
Old McTuttle's has a farm, and on that farm he has a lot of children. And they all helped him out in the garden.
That's how I'm singing. I'm not even saying anymore. Oh, man. I told Dina Joe this morning. I couldn't believe it. I heard some people, they were really upset by this, the stats they had. They were just appalled that there's people out there that actually drink 300 beers a year. They thought that is overly accessible. 300 beers. That's way too many beers for a year.
365 days in a year.
I know. I go, that's less than a beer a day.
Yeah.
Well, what are you talking about? That's like a six pack a weekend. What do you mean that's too much? I mean, really? And you're not concerned that people are drinking double that in Cokes and sodas and sugar infested drinks? I just find that was funny that they were so upset about that. You know, it's like, really? I mean, that's crazy.
That's not a lot of beer at all.
You know, it just sounds like a lot, and they don't think it through. You know what I mean? They're not thinking they're not thinking it through. Hi, Mr. J.
Yeah, it's like I told you. It's all in perspective on how you look at the numbers. How you look at the numbers. It's like, oh my God, 300.
Until you think, oh, yeah, well, there is 365 days in a year. That means they're drinking less than one. Yeah.
Less than one a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. It's all in how you look at things. Perspective. Mm-hmm. It's perspective. It's how you look at things. I think that's a lot of it, too, is that's why people get in arguments and fights. Because they can look at the same thing, and they're looking at it in different perspectives, and they get mad at each other. Why are you mad? I mean, you're looking at the same thing here, and you're basically arguing the same point. I found myself doing that. I used to do that all the time. I would be arguing. I'd be arguing the same point as the other person, only using different words. You know, it's like, hey, wait. Aren't we saying the same thing? Oh. Well, have a beer. Let's settle down. Let's have a beer. Perspective. It's all in how you look at these people.
Scooter.
Perspective. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. So we live in an entertainment, in an entertainment world. Everything's entertaining. Everything's online, TV, everything's electronic, everything. We're looking at everything, and we're bombarded we're bombarded by advertisements.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Advertisements are everywhere. Everywhere there's advertisements. Did you know, Dina Jo and Eric, did you know a book is one of the last ad-free entertainment objects?
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, a book.
Oh, wow.
One of the last ad-free things.
Because a magazine has ads in it, but a book would not have ads in it.
A book has no ads. It's ad-free. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah. Oh.
See? Mm-hmm. Hi.
Oh. Ralph is saying VHS. 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 You're talking about the movies, the VHS tapes? Well, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, see, that's... You can buy, it says one of the last ad-free entertainments. But who's really looking at VHSs or DVDs anymore? They're not. They're streaming them. And even when you order a movie, like I ordered a couple of movies over the weekend. And before the movie started, there was ads. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I just paid to rent this movie. Why am I seeing ads? I don't know. I don't get it. Books, people, books. That's what we're talking about. You need to get out there and read some books. Yeah. All right. Here we go. All right. Let's get this show on the road here, shall we? All right. Let's see.
You got today?
Is Aaron there? Do I get the music? Yeah. As a matter of fact, I do. Who let the dogs out? Hey, the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric presents the A-Dog Sports Report, starting right now.
Good morning.
Hey, Aaron, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Hey, so, man, did you tell us about what you saw in this? I didn't watch hardly any sports at all outside of hockey. I didn't see anything, so.
I watched, thank goodness my Nuggets are still in the playoffs because they avoided the sweep against the Warriors yesterday.
Oh, good. Good. So is that the first round of playoffs done then? Or are we gonna go?
For some matchups it's getting pretty close, like some teams are leading like 3-1 or something like that.
Oh, I see. How many games do they play in the first round? 5 or 7?
In each round it's best of 7.
Okay. Best of 7.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So a sweep would be they won 4. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, like 4 in a row, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm.
What else is going on in the playoffs? Anything exciting? Any shockers? You see any surprise things? Teams doing better than you thought? Or teams doing
worse
than you thought?
The games that I've seen, like, they've been – the games have been pretty close, like close finishes.
Mm-hmm.
By, like, 1 points or fewer.
Hi, Ashton.
Or, like, two games were by like 1 point. One was by six.
Uh-huh.
The Nuggets one was by 5 points.
Ah, that's okay. Yeah, there are close games.
Yeah.
It is some close games. I tell you what, the one thing I've noticed in the hockey, man, the teams are knocking it up a notch. I mean, it's like we're watching playoff hockey right now. I mean, the intensity.
And the playoffs start next month, too.
The intensity has gotten up there. So it's like in basketball, you know, it's like they switch a mental gear in their head when it comes to playoffs.
Bam! Yeah.
All of a sudden playing harder and more intense. Yeah. How are the penalties in that in the playoffs? Are they letting people, you know, run halfway down the court before they call traveling? What's going on?
Well, I mean, they usually check, like, the refs go to like the replay on the sideline, like on the scorer's table, to check to see if it's like a if some kind of foul was a flagrant foul or just a common foul, something like that, just to kind of double check to make sure they got the call right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then I guess baseball is going on. It seems like there's been a lot of hot-headedness in baseball lately.
I was watching the Brewers-Phillies game, and both starting pitchers were on top of their game for the duration of the game. And Kyle Schwarber, like towards the end, he got mad of a it was a strike three called outside the zone. He tossed his helmet and he slammed his baseball bat, and he was arguing with the umpire and he got tossed.
Oh, that happens.
You know, I did see that. I saw that, Aaron, and I didn't think that ball was that far off. I didn't think that ball was that far off at all. I mean, the way mm-hmm. and then I couldn't hear anything he was yelling and screaming at the umpire, but the way he was using his arms and everything, I was thinking, did he think that ball was called high and outside or what? I don't know. But it looked like a good pitch. It looked like a good pitch to me. I mean, you know, umpires are umpires, you know.
They're the Brewers pitcher, Lauer, he pitched a career high 13 strikeouts in his six innings that he pitched last night. In that Sunday night game.
Now, I don't know what was going on the highlights I saw, Aaron, on this one game. I don't know what was going on, but the pitcher threw a pitch. And it was only like a 52-mile-per-hour pitch. So, in other words, it's like a little leaguer, a peewee leaguer throwing the ball in. He threw it in there, and he hits the guy in the arm with the pitch. A 52-mile-per-hour pitch. That's nothing. And when the guy gets hit, he stands there and lets the ball hit him. And then he falls on the ground. He falls on the ground, and he's acting like, oh, and everybody's howling. Everybody is laughing. It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Speaking of pitchers, I was watching a softball game that was from earlier this month, and Florida's their pitcher, she had a no-hitter through 5 2/3 innings, and she gave up a triple in, like, the bottom of the sixth inning. And the outfielder went to try to make the catch. But she kind of overran it or something, and the ball hit off the wall, and the batter got to a third base, and that broke up the no hitter.
Oh.
I felt bad. Like, oh man, she had a no hitter through almost six innings.
Uh-huh.
Almost. And both pitchers were going at it too, so it was a good game. I had to watch the highlights on YouTube to see who won. It was Alabama 2, Florida 1 in extra innings.
I think someone tried to break up a no-hitter that kid on the Angels, the kid from Japan. I can't remember.
Ohtani
was having by trying to bunt down third base there at the end of the game. And
I really like the commercial he's in for that baseball video game with the puppet. Who looks like a baseball coach?
I haven't seen that.
At the end of the commercial, he's like pats the puppet's head and says, "Whatever you say, coach."
Oh, there's some comments in the chat room. That guy says there's been several games lately where umpires seem to be trying to get people tossed. Yeah, I've seen that in some highlights. And then old McTuttles, he says, what do you call a baseball player? What do you do when a baseball player goes blind? It's a question. What do you do when a baseball player goes blind?
You give him glasses?
No, you make him an umpire.
Oh, jeez. Really? I thought the logical thing, like, you help him go get some glasses so that way he'll be able to see.
You know, I was curious over the weekend because I was wondering how much do these sport officials make? You know, how much do they make? And
I have no idea how much they make.
It seems like they in the whatever league, the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL, they all seem to make about $250,000, $300,000 a season. That seems to be
really that much.
Yeah, that seems to be about the average.
Even if they're like, assigned to like a playoff game or like an NBA finals game or something like that.
They didn't break it down to that. It didn't really break down the numbers. It just said, you know, and when I looked at them, it looked like about an average between $250,000 and $300,000 a year. I imagine if they're doing playoff games, they get a little bit more. They get a little bonus.
Yeah, like they get a bonus or something. I was thinking like they get a little something extra for doing the Stanley Cup Finals or the NBA Finals or the World Series or something like that.
Yeah. Ralph says, you think they slipped them a 20 to call a certain the temptation and it's always there. It's always there. And it's got to be in the back of everybody's mind, you know, because, one or two off calls can throw any kind of game, you know, can throw any kind of game, can throw the momentum to the other side. So I don't know. I mean, you would think that umpires and that would have the integrity to, you know, to just report people that tried to bribe them. You think that they would report people that try to bribe them? Yeah.
And hope.
Yeah. You'd want them to. Yeah. You'd want them to. Hey, you know, I'm turning this guy in because he tried to bribe me. You know, I don't know.
Didn't the Saints like have some kind of bounty scandal like years ago when they were trying to, like, they would get like some kind of money for hitting, like, trying to hurt the other players or something like that?
I don't remember the team, but yes, they had a bounty, and if they were able to get to a certain player, I don't know if it was a quarterback or what, but if they got to him and hurt it, yeah, they put a bounty on him. Wow. Yeah, I remember that was a big that was some kind of big scandal that happened. That was in football. Yeah, I don't know if it was the Saints or not, but man, that's,
I'm thinking it was the Saints for sure.
That's
100%.
Just not right.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah, that's crazy. Scandals in sports. That would be an interesting thing to dive into and to look and see. What kind of scandals?
The ones that stand out in that category would probably be the Deflategate.
Deflategate, yeah. Was that ever proven or anything? I don't know. And then plus two, I mean, really, you let the air out of the football a little bit. Well, isn't the other guy using the same deflated footballs? I have no idea. I don't know. Oh, that Pete Rose gambling scandal, that to me is such a fluke. They need to knock that off. Let that guy be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Speaking of Hall of Fame, I think Melky Cabrera is going to be in the Hall of Fame pretty soon because I heard he got his 3,000th career hit over the weekend.
Really? 3,000?
The guy who plays for the Detroit Tigers.
Uh-huh. Hit number 3,000. That's quite it. I noticed in hockey, a lot of players are getting major milestones too. 500th game, 100th point, you know. Yeah.
Like 100th goal or 500th goal or something.
Yeah, these big numbers. Interesting. Interesting. I was watching
adds to their like resume of like their odds of getting into the Hall of Fame are much better now because of this accomplishment that they've been able to do in their career.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
As far as scandals, yeah, I agree with Scooter. That Shoeless Joe Jackson and the Chicago Black Sox scandal, that's always the one that stands out in my mind. That scandal back in, when was that? 19?
That was before any of us were born, right?
Yeah, that was like 19, what was the year of that? 1918? I was going to say 1912, 1918, yeah. Yeah, that was quite the thing where they tried to throw that World Series or something.
I guess who, the Cincinnati Reds, was it? Or the Red Stockings that they were called back in the day?
I have no idea. I don't know. I know there's a movie out. There's a movie out, and it's a good movie. The old man was too.
I almost had that solar flare.
Yeah, and Scooter goes, weren't you there? Yeah, I think I saw that game. I was like, and solar flare, I think I was 4. My dad took me to that game. You guys are funny. You guys are too funny. That's hilarious stuff. Hilarious stuff. So anyway, we got the playoffs going to continue on in the NBA, right, Aaron? And then we got the hockey playoffs starting in the end of this week, next week.
And I can't believe the WNBA season kicks off next weekend too.
Really?
Man. I was watching the Nuggets Warriors game, and kind of where the scores table is, they'll put like ads on there and stuff. And It said WNBA season starts next Saturday.
Wow. I'm going to have to try to check out some of their games. No, Jay Baby, we didn't have him in the zoo. We had him as pets. We had dinosaurs as pets. All right. Well, we'll have to check that out, Aaron. Good report.
Yeah, I hope my Chicago Sky can try to defend their WNBA championship from last year.
Yeah.
They had no picks in the WNBA draft, which was a bummer.
Really? How do you go without
no picks? No selections in the draft. I was like, dang, really?
I find that's hard to believe. How does a team go and not have any picks in the draft?
I know. The team just won the title last year, and then you go to the draft, and then you're not picking any, you're not drafting any rookies or anything.
Daddy has a hug. Yeah,
it seems like they should be able to get, you know, 5 or 6th round picks or something. I don't know. That's
or weird. Like just at least like 3 or 4 picks or something. But
something.
I think. Well, we'll see how they do this year.
Yeah. All right, Aaron. Well, listen, man. Thanks, man. Thanks for the report.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, and look forward to your report again next week, man. There's A-Dog. A-Dog with his sports report. Bye. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, man. What a great report. What a great report.
Whoa. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
That girl.
All right. I went ahead and did it. I rented the new Batman movie over the weekend to check it out.
I didn't know that there was one.
Yep, there's a new one out, a new Batman movie. And it's starring as Batman. And this isn't going to be no spoilers. I'm not going to give any spoilers to it to you that haven't seen it and are fans of the Batman movie. But it stars the kid that starred in the Twilight series, that young guy. He did all right, Batman, compared to the guys in the past. You know, he was all right. And it stars Zoe, Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman.
Not even close.
They were the top. They were the top names in this movie. And it was all right. I'm a hardcore Michael Keaton Batman fan. I think Michael Keaton the best Batman. And I think the best Batman movies there are Batman 1 and Batman 2 with Michael Keaton. Those are by far my favorite Batmans. And so I base everything on that. And it's okay. I mean, if you're a fan of the franchise, the Batman movies, you know, check it out. It's all right. It's all dark, though. I mean, it's all like majority of the movie took place at night. So if you're going to watch it in the during the day, make sure you have your house all sealed off, because otherwise the light reflecting off your screens, you're not going to see anything. So, but anyway, it was okay. But it made me think, okay, here we go. Because I remember Batman, the TV series that theme song was from, you know, with
Back in the day.
Adam West. Yeah. Back in the olden days, you know, right after the dinosaurs. Yeah, right after the dinosaurs left. And I was thinking, okay, so Kravitz was Catwoman. And I was thinking, all right, so let's go back. Okay, so I think the original Catwoman was Eartha Kitt, if I'm not mistaken. I might need Eric's help on this. And then after Eartha Kitt,
I believe it was.
Was Julie Newmar. And those are both from the TV series. And then after Julie Newmar, then came Michelle Pfeiffer. Michelle Pfeiffer was Catwoman. Halle Berry was Catwoman.
Hi to Gray.
And now we have Zoe Kravitz as Batwoman. So in your opinion, who was the best Catwoman? I know who my favorite is.
You're going to say Eartha Kitt.
No, as a matter of fact, I am not.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
I think Michelle Pfeiffer played the best Catwoman. And I think Michelle Pfeiffer's uniform, her Catwoman's outfit, was the best too. And I like that one part. You sent me the little brief thing of it, the GIF of it the other day, where she goes, meow, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I think she did the best Catwoman by
far. And I had
far.
No idea that you watched it or anything.
I didn't tell you.
You sent me a Batman thing and I just meowed you back with her.
Yeah. Yeah, I called you. I said that, no that your music, the music's ready, Batgirl.
Oh,
I called you Batgirl.
Yeah, that was it. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then I was thinking, okay, well, that's my favorite cat. And I believe she was in the second Batman movie with... I just had his name. The guy I like.
Hi, Lou Rock. Adam West.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, he was in Batman. She was in Batman 2 with Michael Keaton. Catwoman.
And how many different Robins are there?
We'll see. They had Burt Ward in the TV series. And then they had Chris O'Donnell in one of the movies. Way after, I think he was the Bat. I think he was Robin with, who was the Batman in
Val
that
Kilmer
movie?
And George Clooney.
Yes, yeah, George Clooney. Yeah, Burt Bacharach. No, Burt Bacharach. God, how many Batmans were they? There was George Clooney, Christian Bale, Val Kilmer. You know, Michael
Ben Affleck.
Keaton, Ben Affleck. Welcome. Yeah, Ben Affleck, and now this kid, I can't remember his name. There were so many. Hey, but did you know that there was a Batman series that was in the 30s, I believe, the 1930s, there was a Batman series. I saw, and on the Turner Classic Movies channel, on demand, you can see they air a couple of those episodes every now and then, and you can see it. Yeah, and it is. I watched it, and I'm going, oh, this ain't, you know, this isn't bad. It's Batman, you know, and Robin. It has got a Robin in it. I mean, it's really kind of strange. It's really strange to see it. Yeah. Oh man, it's crazy stuff. It's crazy stuff. But yeah. So if you like it, if you like Batman. Yeah, you'll like it. It's okay. But it's not Michael Keaton. I remember they had Michael Keaton. I think it was last year. He was doing a commencement speech at some college. He was talking to all the people graduating and everything. And I guess it was he's a pretty good speaker. And then at the very end, they're clapping and everything. And he goes, okay, but now I want you to all remember one thing. After everything I've said to you, there's one thing you just need to remember. There's two words you need to remember. And everybody's all quiet and they're listening to him with all their attention. And he leans up and he goes, I'm Batman. And then he walks off the stage. That was hilarious. I thought, there you go. There's the real Batman right there. Yeah. But now, who was the Joker? How many Jokers were there? Because in the TV series with Adam West, the Joker was Cesar Romero. That was the Joker in Cesar Romero. And then in the Michael Keaton movie, it was Jack Nicholson, who I think was the best Joker, Jack Nicholson. And Keith Ledger was a Joker. Oh man, who were these other guys? These other people that were Jokers, I have no idea their names because I can't. I don't ever remember seeing him in anything.
Sarge from Grey Area mentions Mark Hamill in as the animated voiceover for the Joker.
Oh, I see. Okay. Hey, Ralph's on the line. Ralph, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, guys? I just couldn't sit back and have you have a discussion about Batman without me chiming in.
Nice.
He's one of my favorite. Hey, Dana Joe. What's up, Eric? Man, I enjoyed I think ranking the Batmans, man, of course Michael Keaton is the first one for me.
Hi,
anyway.
Asha.
What's up, man, Cave? The second I think would be hard second. I don't even know who would be a good second. But anyway, you talked about Batman. But the Joker, I think, yeah, Jack Nicholson, number one. I did like Heath Ledger's interpretation of the Joker. I think it was pretty good.
It was crazy.
The other two that came after him, it's just a different kind of Joker, I guess you can say. But I wouldn't necessarily mean better. They're just different. The last Joker, I didn't really like that much.
Well, as you think of it, Ross, how could you, what could you do different to make you stand out as Joker to beat Heath Ledger? I mean, he was absolutely insane in that part, Heath Ledger as Joker.
Yeah, he really dove
method acting at its best.
Yeah, he really dove into that character.
Yeah, he was really unbelievable. Creepy. And then too, I mean, if you take him out of the picture, you can't beat Jack Nicholson. I mean, he was the typical comic book, Joker. Yeah. So have you seen the new movie?
No, I was going to, I think I asked you in the chat, like, how did you rent it? Where can I rent this? Cause I was going to save like a whole day for my birthday to watch that.
There you go. I saw it. Well, I have Xfinity for my cable stuff. My Xfinity.
Oh, it's already in the.
On HBO, HBO Max, something like that. Yeah, so it's already out there. Yeah,
I have to get that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try and see that, and I was thinking about marathoning, but there's a lot of Batman movies if you really break it down. I don't know if you've seen the Batman versus Superman one.
Yeah, I saw those. I saw the Justice League movies. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What did you think about Ben Affleck as Batman?
I did not care for Ben Affleck as Batman. Okay. Not at all. I didn't like him. I didn't like him in any of his interpretations of Batman. I just did not care for him at all. I don't know. I just didn't like him. I didn't like the character.
And Marcos mentioned the Joaquin Phoenix version of the Joker, which I think was like its own like separate movie franchise.
I don't think any of that. J Baby says, I think Patterson is worse than Affleck. Pattinson. Now who is that, the guy who's in the new one? Is that the guy who's in the new one, J Baby? Pattinson? Yeah. This is the one thing that cracks me about it. All the Batmans after Michael Keaton is they all the Batmans, they talk like this. I'm Batman. Yeah, I'm going to get the guy. I'm going after the Joker. Yeah, I think the Riddler. Yeah. Come on, speak so we can hear you. Don't give me that low voice.
I think even Ben Affleck, I guess he couldn't pull it off during the deep talk. They had to put like a voice box on Ben Affleck to do Batman. So it was a good change.
Are you serious?
They played it off as that was one of his tech when he was doing. But anyway, yeah. what I was going to say, I lost my train of thought.
Well, while you're thinking of that, you know who the best Batman voice is, though? The best Batman voice?
Cartoons included?
It's the guy that does the Lego Batman. David Arquette. Yeah, David Arquette has
Seen the Lego ones.
Oh, he's got the best Batman voice, David Arquette, because it's almost his natural voice. Yeah, I'm Batman. You know, I mean? Oh, man. Yeah, he's got the best Batman voice, the Lego guy. The Lego Batman's got to be up there someplace in the list because it is hilarious, the Lego Batman. He's a funny guy. So,
Batman, you almost called him Batman.
Yeah. So, Batman, let me ask you. Ralph would make a great Batman, yeah. Hey, so this one, you know, part of the previews, you know that this one has the Riddler in it. This new movie has the Riddler in it. Mm. And I was thinking about the other people that played the Riddler, and I can only think of two other actors that played the Riddler. One was Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey played the Riddler, and the original Riddler from the TV series was a comedian by the name of Frank Gorshis or something like that. Frank Gorshis. He was a guy that was good at doing impersonations. What was it? Frank Gorshis. Gorshin. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Steels. He was the best Riddler. I mean, he was just this little skinny, wiry guy, and he wore all the green suit with all the question marks, and he's bouncing around, acting off. Let me dig. Riddle me this, Batman. You know, I mean, he was great. He was great. So
it's crazy. It seems like the Riddler would be, well, at least Jim Carrey's interpretation of the Riddler would have been a good Joker for Jim Carrey, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
I think I haven't seen this movie, but it seems like this movie they were trying to make Riddler a little more menacing. But I don't know, I haven't seen it, so.
Oh, that's true. That's true. They made him more menacing, but well, that's what I mean. That these movies are dark. You know, they're making everything more dark. They're trying to break away from the older comic books, and bring it in more to modern comic books. What were you going to say, Eric?
Well, I think when Joel Schumacher took over the directing reins of the Batman movie from like Tim Burton, he kind of went a little more like satire when, you know, Tim Burton might have kind of had a little bit of a dark tone to it, but not overly dark like Christopher Nolan or any more like of the recent Batman movie interpretations. Like there have been sayings that, you know, had Tim Burton stayed for Batman Forever, he would have definitely brought Michael Keaton back and brought Billy Dee Williams back for the role of Harvey Dent in Two-Face. And then there's talk of him wanting Robin Williams as the Riddler and perhaps even wanting River Phoenix as Robin. But River Phoenix had died back in 1993, so they wound up going with Chris O'Donnell for that role instead. And I think Warner Brothers just like we witnessed, they just went in a completely different direction with the Batman.
Robin Williams doing the Riddler, that would have been something.
That would have been great casting.
Yes, that would have, Rob. That Eric, yeah, that would have been great casting.
Hey, Gino.
The one thing that I did remember that I wanted to mention is I'm not sure if this is true, but I think in the next installment of, I think it's the Flash movies that are coming out, or Spider-Man movie. I'm not sure which one it is, but they're going to be having the multiple universes coming together in some sort, and they're going to have the different Batmans. And I think Michael Keaton is going to be in it. So
really, because I saw the new Spider-Man movie, I saw that a couple of weeks ago, and yeah, that has the three of the Spider-Men are in it. You have Tobey Maguire, is that his name? Tobey Maguire. Yeah. And then you have the other kid that played it in between Tobey Maguire and this current guy. You have all three of the Spider-Men in. And now, that movie, you know, because I'm a big Marvel guy. I like Marvel a whole lot better than I do DC, the DC worlds. I like the Marvel worlds. But the Spider-Man one, it was okay. There's, you know, they're trying to stretch this multiverse thing out, and I think they're getting a little too crazy with it, you know. But it was okay. It was okay. The three Spider-Men, you know, they were always like, they were in awe of each other, because the current Spider-Man says, "Yeah, I'm a member of the Avengers.
Hi, Vivian. Welcome.
I'm a member of the Avengers." And the one Spider-Man goes, "Avengers? What's that? You were in a band?" You know, and I mean, it was kind of corny, but it was fun. It was fun watching them. They brought back all the bad villains too. They brought all the original villains from the movies: Dr. Octopus, the Sandman, Green Goblin.
Oh, nice! I might have to watch that.
Yeah, they brought those guys. Yeah, that was a good movie. It was a good movie. It was okay. And then it also had Doctor Strange in it, and I liked the movie Doctor Strange. I mean the Doctor Strange guy in the movies. I like that Benedict, whatever his name is. He's a great actor. He's a good British actor. He plays He plays Cumberbatch or so, whatever his name is. Yeah. Cumber. I think it's C-O-M. Yeah. But anyway, he plays a good Doctor Strange. But now he's got a movie coming out too that deals with multi-universe. And it's just getting... You see, the thing is, Ralph, when I watch these kinds of movies, I don't want to have to think. I just want to be entertained. I want to watch a movie. I want to have a movie that's got an easy storyline, you know, recognizable characters, you know, great special effects. I don't want to have to sit there and keep a diagram of what's going on, who's who, you know, where they at and all this. I just want to be entertained.
Yeah, that's how I was with the Marvel started bringing out the whole storyline with the Gauntlet thing, because I didn't know much about Marvel storylines, and that's why I didn't go watch the Eternals movie that came out, because that's just a whole nother storyline that I don't even know about. Like, I'm not that deep into the
I'm not going to see that.
Hi, Hill. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm not even going to follow that. The Eternals, I hear you.
Yeah. And just to swing it back real quick to Batman, I think even though it might not be that good, or, you know, as good as the other ones, but I think they're just trying to not to recycle the same old villains, and they're just trying to bring out different villains and give them a more, like I said earlier, menacing to, like, the Riddler. Like, I guess we just need to come back with, like, some new or bring out the other villains that Batman had to, you know, fighting either the comic books or the cartoons. Yeah.
Well, I will say this about the new Spider-Man movie that came out, is that at the very beginning, Peter Parker finds himself in need of a lawyer. Now, if you know anything about the Marvel universe, you know that out there is Daredevil. Daredevil's a lawyer. Matt Murdock, he's a lawyer. And so they show him sitting, Aunt May and Peter Parker talking to a lawyer, and the lawyer is Matt Murdock. It's Daredevil. And so they brought that character into the Marvel world off of the Marvel TV series. And there's this real cool scene where somebody throws something through the window of Peter Parker's, you know, house, and Daredevil catches it, you know, and Peter Parker's looking at him like, "How'd you do that?" And he goes, "Luck," or something, you know. And I'm going, yes, because when I was a kid in the comic books, Daredevil and Spider-Man always had it out. They were always fighting with each other. I mean, physically fighting with each other, because Daredevil thought Spider-Man was a villain, and Spider-Man thought Daredevil was a villain, you know, in their respective comic books. And so these two were always at each other's throats, you know, and it was really made for great comic book reading back there. These two superheroes fighting each other because they thought the other was a villain. So I just got really all giggly like a little kid. Oh, look, Daredevil's with Spider-Man. I got all excited.
That's a good piece of information. I didn't know. That's interesting.
Just really brief, a little short part, but it's like, oh my gosh, that's perfect. Yeah, we need to get them going in there.
Dana Joe is like, okay, Skills, boys, stop.
Yeah, okay, boys.
To call in really quick. Oh, I don't know if you got him. I don't know.
Well, no, I saw the people calling in, but I didn't want to interrupt Ralph. We were having a good conversation with them.
Okay.
Don't be abandoned. it's about that time anyway, Ralph.
I mean, I think we talked enough geek stuff.
It was fun.
Sorry, Dana Joe.
No, you are fine.
Sorry, Dana Joe. The little boys just kind of took over a little bit.
Yeah.
You nerd.
Ralph, go read my comic book in the corner.
Thanks, man. Thanks for calling in. And great jazz.
Sorry, Mom.
Guys,
are you ready? It's time for Dina Joe to take control. Presenting music history, sharing information on artists and their music. Here she is, Dina. Had so much fun talking comic books and movies with Ralph. Sorry, Dina.
Stop saying you're sorry.
We're like little kids. Anyway, let's go. What are we doing today, Dina Joe?
Today, Monday, today and tomorrow, we are going to be doing famous songs with hidden messages, and they're not that hidden and whatever, but we're going to go over them anyway. And then it's just 2 days, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're going to do songs that every 60s child should know.
Oh, yeah, so baby.
We'll see. Okay. Welcome, D-D-D-E-K. Nice to see you. All right. First, we're going to start with Mrs. Message in her songs all the time. Taylor Swift, All Too Well, is the song. Taylor Swift made waves when she released All Too Well on her album in 2012. The album's name was Red, largely because it depicted a devastating relationship and heartbreak, and because it was believed to be about a three-month relationship. Oh my gosh,
So it was a normal Taylor Swift song.
Yes, the relationship. Maybe this was the beginning. I don't know of her mate she had with Jake Gyllenhaal. As part of her re-recording process, Swift recently re-released a 10-minute version of the song and simultaneously resurfaced all those old rumors. The songs include lyrics, and I left my scarf at your sister's house, and you've still got it in the drawer even now, which fans think reference a scarf that the actor was spotted wearing, which apparently belonged to Swift. Ironically, during the release of the song, Gyllenhaal was actually with his sister Maggie at the award ceremony. Maggie also previously expressed confusion a few years prior on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen about the people kept asking her about the darn scarf.
No.
If they weren't enough, the song also included scathing lyrics like, I'll get older, but your lovers stay my age. And still, you said if we had been closer in age, maybe it would be fine, and maybe and I wouldn't die.
Oh my gosh!
After 3 months, but Gyllenhaal never commented on them, and unlikely is to comment now. Here is Taylor Swift with All Too Well.
Never called her back either. Oh,
isn't it funny? After 3 months, we think we're gonna die. Oh.
Here is sad Taylor Swift, the original Black Widow of the singing of the music industry.
I walked through the door with you. The air was cold, but something about it felt like home somehow. And I,
you know, there's several versions of this song out there.
I know, Solar Flare.
There's several versions that are 10 minutes long.
I know. That's a lot of hate, huh?
I know. She be hating.
That's a lot of remembering of the sadness.
So this is Taylor Swift with All Too Well, their big secret self.
Big secret self?
Yeah, secret message in her song.
I know. These secret messages are so silly. It just...
Yeah.
All right. So number two is Harry Styles with Watermelon Sugar. Okay. I don't know Watermelon Sugar. Harry Styles' hit song Watermelon Sugar has dominated the airwaves for nearly 2 years now, giving fans an ample amount of time to theorize what seemingly sweet summer track is actually about, specifically leaning towards something we can't talk about on this show. While performing on stage in Nashville on October 1st, the pop star teased the crowd, "This song is about, it doesn't matter what it's about," he continued. "It's about sweetness of life," prompting his fans in the studio and stadium and all around the world to erupt and cheer. Give me a break. And you're lovely to hear. So they're going to erupt and cheer because he said it's about life. Ay, ay, ay. All right. So Watermelon Sugar includes "I Just Want to Taste It," Watermelon Sugar High. Here is Harry Styles with Watermelon Sugar. Let's hear it for the first
Tastes
time.
Tastes like strawberries on a summer evening.
Wait a minute. Watermelon.
And it sounds just like
I know. It says strawberries at the beginning. Yeah. What's going on here?
And that summer feeling. It's so wonderful and warm. Breathe me in.
That's why when I picked up the song the other day, I go, wait a minute, did I get the right song?
He did say strawberry, right?
Twice. He said it twice. Maybe that's the secret message. He's talking about strawberries all the time. Not watermelon?
Yeah. No, watermelon sugar.
He said it. Oh, he said it again. There.
Watermelon sugar high. Watermelon sugar high. Watermelon sugar, strawberries.
Ooh, strawberries.
On a summer evening.
Baby, that's good. I like it.
Sounds to me like he's just talking about eating a fruit bowl in the summer.
He's not discriminating against the fruit. He's given them all play.
Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles.
Yeah, it's not bad. Now, wasn't Harry Styles was in another boy's band, wasn't he? And he kind of went off on his own. He's the one with the long hair.
I have no idea, Dina Jo.
I think so. Thank you, Mr. Steels. I thought so. Okay. Yeah. All right. Number three. Tell me, because I know you brought this up earlier in the week, what you know besides what I'm going to tell you on John Lennon's Imagine. Imagine has become a global peace anthem. Ever since Lennon composed it in 1971, the hit envisions a world without division of faith, politics, and money. But Lennon went further to call it virtually the Communist Manifesto. He said, because it is sugar-coated, it is accepted. Now I understand what you have to do. Put your political message across with a little bit of honey. So that's all I have. You were going to say something about this
nope,
song.
Nope, that's it. No, it's the Communist Manifesto. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, here is John Lennon with Imagine. Oh, wow.
This song is always so boring to me.
Boring.
Whatever, John.
Oh, my gosh. Leave John alone. He's singing a piece. Let's all hold hands, everybody. Come on.
Leave John Lennon alone.
We can all hold hands. Don't hold the old man's hand. He's out of this circle.
Well, I mean, in reality, I mean, we kind of say the same thing here. Can't people just get along? Put your differences down and just get along. Don't let your differences divide you. You know, that's whatever, John. John and Oko Ono Lono.
Oh, my. All right. We'll move on to...
Hey, she ruined the Beatles, man. She ruined the Beatles. She broke them up.
Oh gosh, it's not, a woman doesn't have that much power. Come on. He has choices. Moving on to number four, Britney Spears with Baby One More Time. Britney's first hit was written and produced by Swedish super producer Max Martin, and it was penned from the perspective of a young teenager, again, whose heart had been broken after her boyfriend left her. Even though many thought the lyrics, "Hit me, baby," were little too lyrical and implied domestic violence, but Martin actually thought "hit me" was slang for "call me."
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, here is Britney Spears with "Baby One More Time."
Let's see. Where am I
know, John Cat.
Yeah, this is one of those slangs like we were talking last week, Dina Joe. "Hit me up" means give me a call. Hit me up sometime.
Not like, bam!
Is it me, or does Britney Spears just have a weird voice? She just has a weird voice to me.
She's got like that little bit of raspiness, but it's like she's trying to be raspy.
Yeah, I guess.
But maybe not. I don't know.
"Baby One More Time," Britney Spears. Yeah, it's not talking about beating up anybody. "Hit me up" is slang for give me a call. Exactly. I'm on. Jeez. Even the old man knows that.
Well, hey,
Philly breakfast. What is it? Philly.
Breakfast. I think maybe like
Philly. Oh, okay.
Philly.
Oh, what do you mean? Good to see you, La Rock. Breakfast. Yeah, D. Good to see you, everybody.
Right. Number five on our list is Queen with "Another One Bites the Dust." Queen's tune "Another One Bites the Dust" serves as the catapult of the band's big break in America. However, the lyrics still remain pretty mysterious to this day. What many people don't know is that the popular line, "Another One Bites the Dust," sounds like "Decide to smoke marijuana." When
what?
I know. When played backwards. Oh, my word. Let's not play it backwards. Okay, we'll play it forward. Here's Queen with "Another One Bites the Dust."
Wait. What is this supposed to say when you play it backwards?
"Decide to smoke marijuana."
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I know.
All right, here we go. Lord have mercy.
I've never heard that either.
Oh, I love this song. Here we go. See, that's a bad thing about having things like streaming music and CDs and that, as opposed to an LP, a record. You could play the record backwards. You can't play the
Yeah, music. I know. Hi, Fernando Silva. Welcome.
Pull out the turntable, get the long playing record, and play this backwards.
Boom, boom. Another one bites the dust. Another one rides the bus, Tron Cat
says. Another one rides the bus. Another one bites the dust. Yeah, one of the best. You don't understand the words. Another one bites the dust. I love this song. Queen, "Another One Bites the Dust." All right.
All right. Well, this one's kind of crazy too. We'll see what you think about this one. Number six, Prince with "Darling Nikki." Prince's sexually charged song was part of the soundtrack for his 1984 Purple Rain. And at the end of the song, the choir seems to be singing in a bizarre language. But the King of Pop used the backmasking technique for that section, which means that when played again backwards, they're actually singing, "Hello, how are you? I'm fine, because I know that the Lord is coming soon. Coming, coming soon." Here is Prince with "Darling Nikki."
And that's at the end of the song?
I guess so. That's what they're saying.
Well, I'm going to jump to the end of the song, see if we can hear it.
Hi, Punisher. Maybe that's it, right? That weird language.
That's Darling Nikki. That's the end of Darling Nikki with the hidden message by Chris.
Ah, coming soon.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know.
That sounded pretty weird, right?
It was. It did sound weird. The Beatles were into all that backtracking crap too, you know. Yeah. Oh, sorry, didn't mean that. But I don't know.
That was supposed to be a good one.
Yeah. Oh, they were talking about Paul being dead in that one.
Were you again not listening to what I said?
I buried Paul.
All right.
Okay, sorry.
Was that what he was supposed to be saying? No, everybody. It said, hello, how are you? I'm fine, because I know the Lord is coming soon.
Wasn't Prince a, wasn't he a Jehovah Witness or something like that? I'm not sure.
I think so. I believe so. Yeah. He was very all right. Spiritual.
Yes.
Okay. No, it did not sound like that at all.
No.
All right. Lastly on our list for today, we'll end with Pink Floyd's Empty Spaces. Pink Floyd were known as the masters of hidden messages. Their album, The Wall, was most notable for that, with the song Empty Spaces being the most famous.
Really?
People noticed that when the record was turned backwards on the record player at the right moment, Roger's voice could be heard saying, congratulations, you have just won Publisher's Clearinghouse. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not what he said. He said, congratulations, you have just discovered the secret message before interpreted by an incoming phone call.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
By incoming phone call. Here is Pink Floyd with Empty Spaces.
That was funny. You know, this movie, this song is only 2 minutes long, and it's, you got to go, I mean, it's just a bunch of noise for the first minute. This is it, right here. Okay, anytime, boys. The big secret message was, are they going to play a song or not? Everybody's listening. Ooh! All right. There you are. We're halfway through the song.
So, is this all part of the rock opera too? You know, like a lot of their albums were considered.
Well, this is from their album, The Wall, and that was all just like a big rock opera thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not hating today, rounding
yes,
third.
Yes, he is. He's so.
No, I'm not.
Hater.
I'm not a hater.
You're drinking out of your haterade cup. I know.
Watch. There we go. We only have 30 seconds of the song left, and they finally started singing. Empty spaces where we used to talk. This is the one you're supposed to play backwards?
Yes. How should I
complete the wall? There you go. That's it. That was the song. That was the entire song. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, tomorrow's the end of this list, but I can tell you that it's all rock and roll kind of bands. There's no
nice.
There's no Taylor Swifties or Whitney Spears. Hi, bye, Marcos. Have a good day.
You know, I from what I understand, that backtracking stuff that they did, you know, they had to do back then is if they wanted it to say, you know, they would try to figure out what they want to say, and then they would record it, and then they would play it backwards, and then phonically try to figure out what words they needed to say, you know, in normal speed. So if you played it backwards, it would say what you wanted it to say. I mean, see you, Marcos. Thanks for stopping in. There was some stuff that, I mean, they had to put some work into it to get it to come out right. But with that being said, I mean, that's why, like in the Beatles songs, especially the White Album with all the weird stuff going on in that album, that's why the normal lyrics of the songs, they'd say, and they'd be like, well, that doesn't make any sense, what they just said. Well, no, because they want you to play it backwards to get a complete it was some kind of weird thing. I don't know whoever thought to do that.
It was all in that time. Yeah, it was.
Was
that the 80s or when was that? And that was like the popular thing to do.
Yeah, I think the late 70s, going into the 80s. Yeah, it's like, what, you guys just got bored doing regular songs? And I'm getting bored doing this. Hey, I got an idea.
Ooh, yeah. And then it ruins your needle, or it could ruin your record player, or definitely ruin your record.
They said it ruined your needle. They said it ruined the needles. And it would ruin your album too, because the grooves in the album are only made to go in one direction. They're not made to go backwards.
I never did it.
Yeah. Oh, we did. Oh, we would turn up the volume and we just hand turn it backwards, you know, and it's like, oh, you're not going fast enough, so you'd have to do it again. And oh yeah, we used to do that. We'd spend hours trying to hear secret messages. You know, kill your parents, take their money, you know.
Oh, my word.
Well, goodness. I mean, that's not what we heard. We never heard anything like that. Really, seriously, we didn't. No. But everybody was doing it. All that backtracking stuff. I don't know. It just didn't make any sense to me. They had too much time on their hands in the studio, I guess. I don't know. Who thought of it? Who thought of to do that? The Mendez brothers heard that. Yeah, yeah, watch out. Yeah.
That's scary.
That's some spooky stuff. Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Oh, remember that in that movie? When he's waiting to get the decoder ring. He's waiting to get that decoder ring, Orphan Annie decoding ring, and he finally gets it in the mail, and he goes up, runs up into the bathroom, locks himself in the bathroom, and he's starting to decode the secret message from little Orphan Annie, and he's thinking, all right, he's working it out, he's getting all working. Yeah, Christmas Story. And then he gets done, the message is, remember to drink your Ovaltine. What? He was all depressed. That's funny. That's funny stuff right there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. What special things are today, Dina Jo? I gotta change the direction.
As you ask, it is National Hug a Plumber Day. Not their crack, but a plumber.
not their crack. That was a hidden message right there.
Yes, it was. I got my own hidden messages here. It's actually National Telephone Day.
What? National Telephone Day.
Can you imagine a world without a telephone? I know.
No, I can't. If something happened and all of a sudden people couldn't use their phones, it would be mass hysteria and mass panic all over the place. What, nobody agrees with me?
No, I totally agree with you. People would be like, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
I can't do it. As a matter of fact, Grammy and I went out shopping the other day. She gets in the car. She goes, I don't have my phone with me. I go, I don't have my phone with me either. It's like, we left them home. Yeah. Anyway.
It's also National Hairstylist Appreciation Day. Well, I appreciate you, Tara Hughes. Thank you for fixing my bonnet.
your bonnet.
Yeah, I got a bonnet sometimes.
See, you got that length of hair too, and that hairstyle that, you know, you can always, I've always envied people like you because you can flip it out of your eyes, you know, with the little flippier head and your neck, you can flip your hair.
Oh, God. Yeah. Have whiplash. I remember girls doing that, like in high school. All of a sudden, they'd be walking, do 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 do, and then all of a sudden, they'd bend over, bam, flip back, and I'm like, what the heck?
Flip, flip, yeah, they're doing flipping the flip. Their hair.
What was that? Yeah. The forward flip. What was that in that Legally Blonde movie? Do 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 flip. I don't know. She does some type of flip.
Flippity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking some of the.
You don't have no hair. You don't.
I know. And that's why I'm envious.
Oh, yes, it is, Mr. Steels. It is National Zucchini Bread Day.
Oh.
All right.
I saw this thing. It says,
teach a man. Thank you, Tonkat. Thank you, Tonkat.
I saw this thing. It said, teach a man to fish and he can feed his family. Teach a woman to gardening and she'll feed the neighborhood zucchini. And the winner is
zucchini.
And number one.
Dina Joe. Dina Joe's number
one. Oh my.
What kind of fortune cookie logic is that? anything else, Dina Joe? Anything else?
Well, we did zucchini. We did our hair. Well, it's National Lingerie Day.
What's that?
Lingerie. It's National Lingerie.
Oh, Lingerie Day. National Lingerie Day.
Lingerie.
All right. Well, I guess I'll put on my lingerie then.
Please don't. Please don't. Even you saying that just put a thought.
That doesn't sound right, does it?
No. My mind.
That's just too bad. Leopard. That's it? We're going to end on Lingerie Day?
Well, it's National DNA Day. There you go.
DNA Day. DNA yeah. Day. You know, people, don't be sending your DNA. Don't be giving your DNA out to people. I mean,
don't be giving your DNA out to people.
Yeah, don't be handing your DNA out. Jeez, come on. Keep your DNA to yourself.
You didn't want to land on lingerie, but don't be handing out your. That was funny.
Well, I was thinking about these ancestral sites, you know, where they want your ancestry and all that stuff. And now they're asking for the colon test that you do at your house and you send it in. All it is they're just collecting DNA. They're just collecting DNA. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you ain't getting my DNA. Yeah. 23andMe. Right. Yeah.
Don't
be spreading your DNA around.
That did not sound good.
Sorry. Well, it is Monday. It is Monday.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
And it is the last week of April, people. Last week of April.
And it's Ralph's birthday's coming up.
Our two-year birthday's coming up. Yeah. Mr. Steele's anniversary was yesterday.
Happy belated anniversary.
Yeah.
Shannon Lynn's birthday. And
we would also like to wish a belated happy birthday to Podbean friend Lion Swan, whose birthday was on Saturday. I didn't think we had her on the birthday calendar. She's on the 23rd. Lion Swan from, I believe, England or Scotland.
Oh, okay.
No idea.
She changes her name. She was somebody
Ireland. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Ralph.
Hey, listen. Listen, real quick before you before we get out of here, you guys, if your podcast is you're using Twitter to post your podcast stuff out there, be sure to check out Podcast Overlord. See what they can do for you and check them out. They'll get your word. They'll get your footprint, your Twitter footprint larger. They can help get your name out there and get your exposure, get you exposed out there. Look at it this way. If you could put your show out there and make a post and hit 13,000 people, would you do it? Well, you can if you use Podcast Overlord, because they've got over 13,000 followers. And when they make a post, your name's going out among all those 13,000 followers. So check out Podcast Overlord. Yeah. Had to squeeze that in there. They say, are you getting paid to podcast that? I mean, do that for them? No, I just like them. What can I say? I like them. They're good people. We use them, and it's a fantastic thing. Yeah. And on that note, we're out of here. Birthday's up. Birthday's up. Birthday's up. Hey, Ralph, your birthday. What? How old are you going to be on your birthday, Ralph? Let's see if he lies. 42. Oh, he's telling the truth. All right. Still 50. Oh, you guys. Bunch of youngsters. You guys are all a bunch of youngsters. Eric, you got some shows that are going to be on today. You want to get the notice out?
Well, I know for sure you're going to see Milk Dog pop up, and Jeff Moore's Make More Money podcast, Solid Blue Sisters, My Turn to Talk, and then John Gale will be live at 5 p.m. Eastern time today with his TalkNet Live program. And let's keep our fingers crossed that we finally see Beans and Weenies return tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, and hopefully Michael Key's got real conservative talk coming up this evening as well, so be on lookout for him, and be on lookout for Ralph to come back tomorrow morning, and of course we're back tomorrow morning as well, but we'll still have a replay of today's show on WESN and many more podcast friends you'll be seeing a little bit later in the week.
Yes. Hey, and if you into listening some nice jazz in the morning, check out the WESN Epic Strategies Network. Download that app for your phone and check out the tunes. Ralph's got a good jazz program going on in the mornings. I try to listen to it before our show. It just puts me in a good mood. All right, that's it for today. That's our Monday, the 25th of April show. Hope you enjoyed it. We did. We had a blast. I want to thank Mr. Ralph William for calling in and talking comic books and comic book movies with me. That was a blast. I'll have to pay you back the favor and call in on your show. We'll have a comic book fest. And, Dina, tomorrow's music better?
Yes. It won't be. I know he wasn't happy, but that's okay.
I was happy. I liked it. It was good. I liked the show. I always like Dina Jo's music shows. It's one of my favorite episodes. One of my favorite things of our show is listening to Dina Jo's music presentation. Yeah. And this is my second most favorite part of the show. And now a final word from Dina Jo. You thought I was going to say something funny, didn't you, Dina Jo? Dina Jo.
Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate you. I appreciate you all so very much. Have a great rest of your Monday. See you around Podbean. Bye.
Dina Jo.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Mr.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Had a great time with you. Come back tomorrow. Come back to our morning, our Tuesday show, 7 a.m., Monday through Friday. Here we are. You can find us. We're always here. We're always trying to have a good time, and we're always laughing and goofing around. We are the goof-offs. That's what we do. All right, music's done. We're out of here. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Love you. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you on Podbean and WESN.
Bye, guys. Bye, Randy.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, Mr. Steele. See ya.
Say it with me, everybody. Later, Gators.